Mini episode 303 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 303. It's NFL season again. That means I, Rick Morris, am joined by Kyle Ross, world-renowned Vegas handicapper, to break down all the games for you every week. We're going to be doing this one, obviously, by phone in the first couple weeks, probably. So with a full slate of games and only 45 minutes to do it in, we are pinched. So we will go accordingly. We're not going to have this up in time for the opener, so you'll be able to judge accordingly after the fact on this. Denver and Baltimore. Denver laying 7 at home to Baltimore, and it opened at 8. It's now 7. I like Baltimore. Kyle, how are you, buddy, and what do you think on this one?
Rick, it's a pleasure to be doing this for a third straight season. I'm starting off actually with one of my – mirroring you this week. I got 3 recommended plays. This is one of them. I actually bet this one earlier. I liked it a lot more, laid some juice to get a nicer number. But Baltimore is the play. Granted, I thought the Ravens would regress this year when we talked about them in the preview. But, you know, that's built into this line here. I don't think they regressed to the point where they should be getting, you know, a lot of shots. You could have got them early, more than a touchdown against the Broncos. I think they're a great value play here. They beat them on this field in the playoffs a year ago. Denver, major injury concerns already early in the year. So I like Baltimore as my first of 3 recommended plays this week.
I agree. And I don't think anybody's going to be slipping behind the Baltimore secondary on some deep throws in this game here. We'll have this noted on Twitter, which, like I said, you all will have heard this. You'll know the results by the time you hear this. Subsequently, but noted on Twitter about Kyle's play and the FDH Lounge play for this one as well. This is not one of my recommended plays, by the way, but it is for Kyle. Next up here, New England laying 10.5 at Buffalo. It opened at 7 and started jumping almost immediately here. This is a situation, again, Kyle, and looking at this, a team that's regressing to the pack, kind of like Baltimore. You talked about that. I think that's where New England is, at their stage of evolution. I just don't see Buffalo as being a team able to exploit that. I like this one a lot. Not enough to make it a recommended play, but 10.5, I think New England can cover that on the road against the Bills.
See, you know me and my hatred of road favorites. This is way too many points to swallow in week one for me. I'm totally laying off this game and would recommend most do the same. Now, I do recognize New England almost always beats Buffalo. I think over the last 10 seasons, they've lost to them one time, and that was a game that required something like 6 Tom Brady interceptions, one of the worst games he's ever played. I believe it was early in the year, 2 years ago, and Ryan Fitzpatrick earned himself a nice payday that Buffalo wishes they would have back. But the Buffalo quarterback situation has obviously grown very dire since the last time you and I chatted, Ricky, and that's the reason for the line move. It was almost tool time in Buffalo, but thankfully E.J. Manuel is going to get thrown to the wolves. But, you know, all I have to say is this. What does this line say about your 2013 Buffalo Bills? I mean, it could get – this is a team that, you know, when we last talked in the AFC preview, the situation, you know, it was kind of between Manuel and Cobb, which one are they going to go with? I said, hey, you know, just throw Manuel out there. Kevin Cobb stinks. But, you know, it's getting a lot uglier with Manuel getting hurt right after that. And Buffalo's a team I've probably, well, not probably, I have downgraded since we last talked. It's going to be tough for them to even get the 6 wins this year. They're probably one of the worst teams in the league.
I would agree with that completely. They look like a mess right now and a good place for New England to start, certainly. Next up, some real excitement here in the NFC South as the Falcons visit New Orleans. This is a line where the Saints are laying 3 in this one. So, in other words, on a neutral field, they would be rated even, which sounds about right. Our boy, four-time lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call for this one on Fox, along with Daryl Johnston and Tony Siragusa. So I have to note that one. And looking at this one, I have a strange feeling. Everything's pointing towards New Orleans. It's going to be a big emotional game with the return of Sean Payton. I'm leaning towards Atlanta. I think they're the team that wins the other South this year. On paper, I would say that these teams would split their games. I just have a feeling that, again, I got to go with Atlanta in this one. Hey, I'm not saying they're going to win necessarily, but it could be a 1 or 2 point loss. I like the Falcons to cover.
Sure, and I think when a lot of people look at this game, Ricky, you take a look at a team went 13-3 in the regular season last year and is getting points at a team that went 7-9. But you pointed out, obviously, the return of Sean Payton. It's going to be his revenge tour. Anyone who listened to the NFC South preview you and I did know how I feel about the Saints. And by the way, this game, I've got to get this in, Ricky, will be played at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Thank you very much. And
yes.
the last time Sean Payton, by the way, was on the sidelines, the last season, if you will, 2 years ago, they went 9-0 at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, including a playoff win. So this is a game where, based on how I feel the winds of change are going to come into the NFC South this year, I have to go with New Orleans. I think the Saints are going to win this division. I think there's a changing of the guard starting in week one. And this is probably my favorite play in week one. I think the Saints actually are tremendous value, only laying the 3 for home field. I think they're the better team. Atlanta's defense, not sold on them at all. This is a team that won a lot of games close at home last year. I see them regressing. The Saints improving tremendously. Lay the 3 with New Orleans, my second of 3 recommended plays this week.
All right, we're getting to your recommended plays early here. I'm guessing the next game won't be one of them because, again, when you're looking at crap versus crap, those are generally the ones you want to stay away from. The Chiefs and the Jaguars. Kansas City on the road is laying 4.5 points. This line started at 3. Again, similar to the last one, on the surface to me, everything points towards Kansas City. And this is going to be one of the weirdest rationales I'll probably use all year. But historically, weird stuff happens with Jacksonville week one. I just can't put my finger on it. And I understand there's a new coaching staff in place and things are different. And maybe that's why I'm inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt, even though I think they're one of the worst teams in the league, probably second only to the Raiders. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they'll cover the 4.5.
Well, you know, I like where your head's at. Kansas City is a team that, you know, it's funny when you look at they're expected to improve Kansas City tremendously. They have a new coaching staff, too, Andy Reid, and then Alex Smith brought over at quarterback. He's a tremendous upgrade over the powerful duo of Brady Quinn and Matt Castle that they had to endure last year. But should Kansas City really be laying more than a field goal on the road yet? I mean, I think they're going to improve. But I'm a little leery. The only reason I'm not recommending Jacksonville is because it's Jacksonville. They're not a good team at all. They, more so than the Chiefs, will closely resemble last year's 2-14 campaign. This is actually a matchup of two teams that went 2-14 last year. Ricky, you mentioned the crap on crap. Chiefs will probably get the win, but it could come down to a late field goal. And I'm staying away personally, but I like where your head's at with the home dog.
Yeah, it's just a weird feeling that I have. And, again, a lot of weird things happen year after year, week one. If Jacksonville won, it would be much along the lines of some of the stranger instances of years past.
Mark Sanchez threw 4 touchdown passes last week in week one, and the Jets scored 48 points. I don't think they scored 48 points the rest of the year last season.
Yeah, atypical things tend to happen early in the NFL for whatever reason. Who knows? Next up here, we got a good one. It is Cincinnati at Chicago. Nance and Sims have the call, so this is the A game for CBS, apparently. Bears weighing 3 in this one. It had been 3.5 at the outset. So, again, similar to New Orleans and Atlanta, the point spread merely reflecting the home team at this point in time. In looking at this one, again, Cincinnati, a dark horse, increasingly popular pick by many to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. Can't really say the same for the Bears in the NFC, but that's probably just because it's so loaded. I look at this one, again, and this won't be the last time I say this, my lean is just because of home field in this one. I feel like the teams are fairly even, maybe even a slight edge to Cincinnati in that regard, but I like the Bears at home to cover on opening day.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the toughest calls for me, so I'm just laying off completely. Cincinnati, I'm one of the big buyers on them this year. I think they very well could finish the regular season with home field advantage in the AFC. Now, I don't think they're going to win the conference, but, their only question mark really is at the quarterback position with Andy Dalton. Everywhere else, they're pretty well loaded. But this could be one of their, four or five losses this year. The Bears are one of a handful of teams that I don't feel I have a good handle on, that they could, that their window is, they kind of have a four-win window. Most teams, I feel, okay, it's going to be like seven or eight wins, it's just between, a one-win margin of error I have with them. The Bears are not in that. The Bears are a tough team to figure out. I could see them making the playoffs, or I could see them completely bombing. So I'm laying off this game. I can't even give a slight recommendation. It's a good number. If you can get it at 3.5, if that does pop up at game day, might be worth a shot with the Bengals, obviously, because 3 is such a key number. And if you get that extra half point, you lose by a field goal, you still cover.
That's a very good point. Or if you're getting a chance to buy the half point.
Or don't wait, just buy it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you could do that potentially. It's going to be a really interesting game. I agree with you. Part of the reason for the uncertainty is Mark Trestman. His first time as a head coach, the offense is supposed to be more wide open. We shall see on that one. The next one here, this is the Ricky Bowl here, as my 1 and 1A favorite teams are clashing. The Dolphins are at the Browns. Kevin Harlan and Solomon Wilcott's on the call for CBS. This game had opened with the Browns getting one. It has moved to them laying a point. In looking at this one here again, and I have a tremendous amount of skepticism about both teams, and that would probably be putting it mildly, not least of which because of the quarterback situation for both teams.
Yeah.
I referenced this earlier, home field. To me, that's what it comes down to here in this game. I don't feel like either one of these teams at this point is good enough to win a game like this on the road. Hence, I will go with the Browns laying the one, so to win outright.
I got down on this one actually pretty early when the Browns were getting points. I actually got them at 1.5. That was earlier in the, very early. It was actually late last week, not even early this week. They are my third and final recommended play this week. So we got mine all out of the way early here. I'm with you. I have these teams rated pretty even. And unlike some of the other games we talked about, that's not built into the line here. I mean, they're basically saying, with this line, we'll just call it a virtual pick 'em for argument's sake. They're saying the Dolphins are better, they meaning the odds makers. And I'm not convinced of that on the road. I think the Dolphins, who made a big splash, pardon the pun, in the offseason, I think a lot of it's going to be for naught. I think they're still a lot closer to Buffalo and the Jets than New England. I know I've read some publications who feel Miami can win the division this year. I do not share in that sentiment whatsoever. The Browns, probably last place, again, in a very tough AFC North. But here's the big thing, and you know this, Ricky, obviously, from spending your, all your formative years here in on the North Coast. The Browns almost always play at home in the season opener. And they almost always lose. So you have the new regime in town, for those who, don't follow the Browns, and nationally it's probably a lot of you. They've got the new regime, the new ownership, the new coach. If they lose this game, I mean, it's going to be really bad. And I just think that there's going to be a lot of importance placed on this game. Not that Miami doesn't care. I mean, you certainly can't afford to phone in a game in a 16-week season. But I just think the Browns really, really, really have to win this game with the new regime. And, again, I think these two teams are pretty even. So the Browns should be laying more than a point. They should be laying at least 3. I think the Browns eke it out, and they do cover. They are my third of 3 recommended plays once again.
One of the things that kept me from feeling stronger about this game, Kyle, Mr. Million Dollar Talent, 10-cent brain, Josh Gordon, serving the first of 2 games on his drug suspension. If he was in there, we've seen what the offense can do with the wide-open North Turner style in the preseason, actually at times making Brandon Weeden look like a legitimate NFL quarterback. Without him, there is the fear that the defense is just going to collapse on Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a pretty ugly game. I don't exactly see this one, getting a lot of time on the Red Zone channel or, a lot of hate in out of market televisions across the country. It's going to be a pretty ugly, low scoring team. Both teams, again, very similar down to the second year quarterbacks out of the Big 12. The defense is clearly the strongest unit on both sides. And, of course, the Dolphins also have an injury with their receivers. Dustin Keller, the tight end, gone for the year. So, and they also lost Reggie Bush. I know Reggie Bush will never be what people wanted him to be when he got drafted into this league. But
right.
Reggie Bush was pretty good the last 2 years for Miami, and Ryan Tannehill doesn't have him anymore, and I'm not sold on this Ryan Tannehill by any means, nor am I sold on Brandon Weeden for that matter.
Well, I share both of those sentiments, and I feel sad about that, as I really like both of these teams. The Browns are my favorite team when push comes to shove, but I also love the Dolphins as well, so I wish I could say better things about them. One team that you can only say good things about at this point in time, I would say, the Seattle Seahawks, a trendy pick by many to go to the Super Bowl. They open on the road. They're at Carolina. They're laying laying 4.5. It had been 3.5 at the outset. Kyle, I know how you feel about the West Coast teams going to the East Coast. I think we saw a little bit of the sluggishness the last time that happened with Seattle, because they played like they were in a coma against Atlanta before coming back on them in the playoffs. Nevertheless, I feel like it's setting up pretty well for them here. This feels like a statement game for me, for Seattle to come out of the chute strong. They know there's going to be skepticism about going to the East Coast. I just think they're going to come out strong. I think they're going to be too much for the Panthers.
Here's the thing. First of all, in a check-the-tape situation, I think we need to make it clear who started this Seattle bandwagon late last year. I mean, I jumped on them. I watched them. I can't remember what game it was, but I had this epiphany that they were going to win the Super Bowl, and, you know, they really should have beaten Atlanta. It remains to be seen how they would have done against San Francisco on the road in the NFC Championship game. But I really feel that at the end of the year, and, I'm not alone in feeling this by any means, that they were playing better than any team in the league, and had they not had to go on the road in back-to-back playoff games, that they would have advanced further. But, you know, it remains to be seen, as much as I like this team, it remains to be seen for them to get it done by any sort of significant margin on the road. Carolina is a funny team. A lot of people like them to make the jump up. A lot of people don't. And I think it depends on how much of an inhibitor Ron Rivera is, the coach. I think that ultimately this could wind up being his last year. I think he, had it not been for that late season run last year, he would have certainly been fired. But Carolina always loses close games. I think in the last 2 years, there's something like 2-12 with Rivera and Newton in one possession games. And I kind of see that happening here. Seattle will win, but it'll be real close to the number, and that's why I'm laying off. I despise road favorites. And another thing, too, for Seattle to be wary of, another reason I wouldn't recommend laying the points here necessarily, I know it's week one and everyone's excited, but they've got a big look ahead next week when they host San Francisco, which is, I don't know if it's the Sunday night game or the Monday night game, but it's one of them, and that's, obviously something you're going to be pointing to.
It's huge. They're going to be pointing towards that, no question about it. This next one here, it's football season when I'm making the reference that the game is being called by Tom Brenneman, Brian Billick, and the lovely Tandalora Oakman. It's Minnesota at Detroit on Sunday. We're jumping right back into these early here. The Lions are laying 6. They had opened at 3.5. It makes me nervous that the line's gone up like it has.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with my gut, okay, because I don't take a pass on any of these ones here. I know Stupido that picks them all, albeit I have my 3 big plays for later on. But then this won't be one of them. I'm going with Detroit. I like them to come out. You talk about, I mentioned before, statement games. I think Minnesota with that secondary, vulnerable. I think Stafford's just going to be spraying it all over the field all day long. I think that this was the start of a little bit of a Detroit comeback from last year. I don't see them as a playoff team, but I think they'll be back from last year to a better position, somewhere plus or minus 500, and I think it starts here, like Detroit, to cover reluctantly.
I like them to win, but the big line move, prevents me from wanting any action on this game. Now, apparently bettors are become big fan of analytics here and, you know, regression to the mean theory type stuff because, you know, clearly these are two teams which exemplify the regression to the mean theory. As you have Detroit, a team who was a colossal disappointment last year, 4-12 disaster, Jim Schwartz, you know my feelings on him. And then you have Minnesota, yeah, who shocked everybody, jumped from 3-10 wins and made the playoffs, largely on the back of one of the greatest seasons ever by running back Mr. Adrian Peterson. But, you know, I like Detroit here too, but that line move, yeek. I didn't like it before the line move. To me, it just seemed like a good line. You know, I want to see it from Detroit before I start laying points with them. They'll win, but I'm leery of the cover.
I truly understand, no question about it. It's funny you're talking about regression to the mean because another one of the biggest candidates for that, especially when you're looking at the Pythagorean stats from last year, would be the Indianapolis Colts, and they're up next year on the docket. They are hosting probably the worst team in the league, the Oakland Raiders. This line started with Indy laying 7 and has zoomed to 10.5. Unlike the last game, I have no such qualms at this point in time. Oakland, to me, is so awful. Will Indy regress to the mean? Yes, I think I got them pegged for about 7 wins this year, but I don't think the regression starts here. I'm all over the Colts.
No, I think they're at home next week against Miami, too. So, you know, a Colts team that a lot of people certainly don't like to match last year's 11-win total, and like you are kind of saying 7-8 wins, I would certainly agree with that, is probably going to be 2-0. But then they go to San Francisco, and then I think the regression is going to come into play. No way am I playing this game. Oakland is just, you know, awful. They are, on paper, certainly the worst team in just about everyone's power rankings. I've read it. All the things like they're not trying. Your boy Terrell Pryor is the name of the starter. I mean, Matt Flynn. I mean, I hope you have a college degree, buddy, because people just pass over you like no one else. And at the same time, though, because of that regression, I mean, the Colts didn't blow a lot of teams out last year, if you remember, in that 11-5 season. They had the worst point differential of an 11-5 team in history, minus 30. So there's no way I want to lay double digits. I would recommend the Colts, and certainly I'm not alone here. I think they're the most popular choice in survivor pools this week across America. That may have something to do with the line, but you know, maybe you tease them. You know, you do a 7-point teaser or something else you like, maybe with the Patriots, who knows. But no thank you laying double digits in week one with a Colts team that overachieved dramatically last year.
I understand that. And by the way, a very interesting thing occurred to me literally while you were talking and while you mentioned Terrell Pryor. It will be Jim Tressel's old team laying the wood to Terrell Pryor this week. So a little bit of irony
boy,
there.
Yeah, you had to get him in, huh? Yeah, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Jim Tressel. Now, I'll tell you what, Ohio State, there's a lot of fan bases in America that have rights to complain. Ohio State, not one of them. They got out of that situation with a better head coach and a better man, too, by the way, in Urban Meyer.
I'm quite certain my father would disagree with that as vociferously as I. But, And looking at the next one,
That's why I tried working it in on a show with a short time frame there, Ricky. So you couldn't respond. I knew you didn't have time, so that's why I used
That's how smart you are. That's what we love about you.
Yes.
I think we have a rookie analyst on the next game. I think this will be a Rondé Barber's first regular season call, along with
Dick
Stockton.
It can't be any worse than Tiki was on the Today Show, I'll say that much.
Yes. And somebody named Chris Button on the sidelines, who I've literally never heard of. This is the Cardinals at the Rams.
No wonder we're breaking in the rookie announce team here. You know, somebody mentioned to me, I know that they are your St. Louis Rams, Ricky, but, you know, they're the team that I don't think, like, anyone watches except people in St. Louis and whoever they play.
That's true.
Not a team that nationally is well-known.
No, they're not. And ironically, in a town that has St. Louis Cardinals baseball, you have a St. Louis-Cardinals football game this weekend here, divisional game, which the Rams had dominated the division last year in interdivisional play. They're laying 4.5 at home, and it's down from 6. again, I have a weird feeling about this one because I'm picking the Rams to make a backdoor wild card bid this year. I think they're going to be better than the Cardinals. I agree with your assessment that the Cardinals are sort of by default the worst team in the NFC. The NFC doesn't have any truly putrid teams like the AFC. And yet, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to recommend it, but I think they're going to keep it close enough. I think the Rams are going to win, but I like the 4.5. I can't quite put my finger on why.
I really liked the dog here when the number was at its high point. I'll be honest with you. This almost made my cut. I almost recommended this one. I have these teams rated a lot more evenly than you do. I do not think St. Louis is going to sniff the playoffs this year. I actually don't think they're going to be as good as their record was last year. I think they're going to maybe slip out. I have both these teams finishing 6-10, as a matter of fact. Keep in mind the Rams not only went 4-1-1 straight up against the division last year, the NFC West, they went 6-0 against the spread. And usually when you do that one year, you don't do it the next. Even teams like New England are known to drop a mysterious division game here and there. I would it didn't make the cut, but I would take the points of Arizona. A team which, interestingly, I read this, Ricky, I couldn't believe it, has drawn a lot of action in Vegas. Not just on this game, but, you know, over their win total for the year. I was pretty surprised by that, given the division and, you know, that Carson Palmer kind of stinks. But, you know, Arizona's a team that I think a lot of the sharps think are going to do better than a lot of, you know, just for lack of a better term, your casual observers.
Okay.
I don't know what their ceiling is in the same division as San Francisco and Seattle. It's not too high. Like I said, I've got both these teams finishing 6-10, but, you know, and Arizona's offensive line is obviously just beyond reproach. It's terrible and was, I mean, as bad as any offensive line in the league last year, but, you know, I'm with you. I think this one's going to be close. I think the Rams, you know, too trendy. And, you know, I think at the end of the year, Jeff Fisher owes Bernie Kosar an apology.
I think he very much will. This next one, the Rams do stink.
With Sam Bradford, I'm telling you, I'm not sure this guy's any good. And without Danny Amendola, I'd like to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, and Tavon Austin, way overrated. At least at the outset here, no question in my mind.
That's a big Jason Jones opinion, isn't it, about Tavon Austin? Wasn't he?
I believe so.
On his chest about how much he hated Tavon Austin getting picked that high?
Yes. FBA senior editor Jason Jones agreeing with me, thereby validating my opinion completely. We got a big one here up next. A rematch from last year's opening day, a rematch from the playoffs, albeit the game this time is taking place in San Francisco. Last year was Lambeau for the opener. Green Bay at San Francisco. Buck Aikman and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call for this one. So it's the A game for Fox. This is a game where the line went from 4.5, San Francisco was laying, up to 5. I think it's a burden of proof situation, Kyle. I think particularly after that playoff game there, I need to see that Green Bay can have any kind of an answer whatsoever for Colin Kaepernick because they were just completely embarrassed then. And I'm sure there's going to be some adjustments coming, but pending actually seeing said adjustments, I like San Francisco to cover the 5.
You know, usually by 4:25, I'm, you know, somewhat in the bag on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm just looking forward to watching this game, to be honest with you. The number seems right. I mean, no matter which side you play, you're going to be sweating it down to the wire. Green Bay, you know, you alluded to this just a minute ago, cannot possibly play worse defensively than they did last year in the playoffs when it appeared that they had not seen the memo regarding the read option in the head reached the NFL. I mean, it was really bad. The game I didn't think was really even as close as the 45-31 final score indicated. San Francisco also last year started the year with the win in Green Bay. Thank you very much. I believe it was 30-22. And the game wasn't even that close. I think I brought this up a couple times last year, maybe even when we broke down the playoff game beforehand, that Green Bay had a punt return, probably Randall Cobb, that should have been called back for a block in the back. It wasn't. So San Francisco's really, really had Green Bay's number last year. That's with two different quarterbacks. Remember, the first game was with Alex Smith.
Yeah.
So as much as what I just said kind of makes this very strong case for San Francisco, you know, Green Bay is a good team, and they, in the last couple of years, since Aaron Rodgers has risen to, you know, many feel the best player in the league, they don't get this many points very often, so I'm staying away.
Okay. I completely understand it for that reason, because Aaron Rodgers...
completely staying away, but it should be a great game. I mean, unless if you live in St. Louis or Arizona, I believe you watch this game at 4 o'clock, so...
Yeah, exactly. Another one that should be a great game, the Sunday nighter. It's the Giants at the Cowboys. Michaels and Collinsworth on the call. Cowboys are laying 3.5 up from 3. Again, this just feels like a good moment for the Cowboys. I'm picking the Giants over the Cowboys to win the division here, but they've been a little bit shaky defensively in the preseason here, and that's probably understating it a tad. I just think Dallas is a little bit more ready at this point in time. I'd like them to cover the 3.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Am shocked. I am shocked.
I try to be fair. I try to be fair.
This was the last one that I debated going with 3 or 4 plays this week. And
okay.
The Giants, I'll give a slight lean to the Giants here, especially at 3.5, mind you. But, you know, this is kind of funny the way I look at it, but one of the biggest arguments for the Giants may also be one of the biggest arguments why you may be a little leery here. Do you know that they've never lost in Jerry World? They've won.
Right.
They've won all 4 year times they've come since to the new Cowboys Stadium, which I believe is now AT&T Stadium. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So, I mean, that doesn't happen a lot in the NFL, where one team just always wins the other guy's place. You know, I'm with you. I think the Giants are winning the division. They're better than the Cowboys. So, you know, to me, this line should be closer to a pick 'em. I'm just a little nervous, like you, about Green Bay. The Giants play in the preseason. I know it is only preseason. But 3.5 to me with a better team. Yeah, slight lean to the German here on Sunday night. I think Dallas could be a disaster this year. They're a team that I don't think their ceiling's very high, but their floor's pretty low. This coaching situation, the more I think about it, it's just terrible. You have Jason Garrett, who, you know, if you look closely on your HDTV, you can see the strings going up to the press box with Jerry Jones. Monty Kiffin's defense is still giving up last year from USC. It's still giving up points at this moment as we speak. And Bill Callahan, I mean, I have as little regard for him as any coordinator in the league.
I understand.
And
there's a lot
of play. I mean, it's just a mishmash. I mean, Jerry Jones. I mean, this guy. I mean, Jerry Jones' biggest problem is he thinks he's good at being a general manager. So Dallas has no shortage of talent at the skill position. They can match the Giants at the skill position. It's everywhere else that they're deficient, particularly along the offensive line, where they've had a fair share of issues the last couple of years, and. You know, I'd like to point out Dallas, a horrible, horrible bet when favored. I think they're 2-13 against the number when favored at home under Jason Garrett, including last year. The worm may have to turn, but the Giants probably remember that week one loss last year, too, at home. So, you know,
We got 4 games with about 10 minutes to go here. So next up is the other divisional pairing on Monday night. It's the Eagles at the Redskins, and Washington is laying 4.5 in this one. This is one of the hardest games to call because, again, you don't know exactly how much Chip Kelly has been holding back offensively, exactly what they're going to look like. I don't think a lot of the Eagles at this point in time, but particularly with the unknowns that are out there, the fact that it's so hard to prepare for them, as miserable as their defense is Robert Griffin III at this stage of his recovery going to be able to take full advantage of it? I don't think Philly's going to win, but I like them to cover the 4.5.
I'm like you. There's way too many X factors. Originally, I was thinking Philadelphia when this matchup was announced. Well, I mean, obviously it's been announced for some time, but, you know, when you kind of start, you take your first look at the schedule, I like the Eagles more than you do, I know. And it'll be interesting to see if Washington gets a taste of its own medicine. Of course, last year in week one, they ambushed the Saints with the read option. No one kind of saw, you know, that offense coming, and they made New Orleans look quite foolish. Again, with Chip Kelly, we don't know what exactly his offense is going to look like here now that the games start counting for real. And also, RG3, it's very difficult to know, you know, how he's going to look. So, you know, my initial look was to the Eagles, but at the same time, I could see him getting blown out, too, on national TV. So I'm just staying away from this one. I don't know. I think these teams are a lot closer than people think, at least some people. I mean, there's those who really like Washington and really don't like Philadelphia. I don't think anyone really prefers Philadelphia over Washington. But the line just seems pretty sturdy, and then I'm going to lay off.
I can understand that. And, again, if I was going to lay off any game, it might be this one. We're up now to my big three plays. Last year, I pretty much struggled right around the break-even mark. You, Kyle, on all of your plays, a 61% verified mark. You can go back and you can listen week by week by week. It's all up there at the fdhlounge.blogspot.com, where all of our past shows are. But you did a tremendous on yours. I will hope to go a little bit better on mine this year. The first of my three ones here, I mentioned before that I am somebody who is a fair individual when it comes to doing the handicapping here. I don't want my biases get in the way. Obviously, I wouldn't be looking in the direction of the Squealers if I was, as a lifelong Clevelander, but they are weighing 7. It started off at 6.5. I just think this is a custom-made matchup for them. I think that Tennessee is going to be unable to exploit any of the real difficulties that they do have. There are some issues of transition in the passing game. The running game with Le'Veon Bell being out the first couple of weeks is going to be a real dumpster fire. I just don't think Tennessee is going to be able to do anything about it. I think they're going to feast on Jake Locker defensively. The Steelers will like the Steelers to cover the 7 as the first of my three big three plays.
I can't argue with the straight up result. I mean, I think Tennessee might wind up with the first pick, and you know, Jadeveon Clowney might be in a Tennessee Titans uniform next year. But I'm not, although I picked the Steelers to make the playoffs, they did not look great at all during the preseason, and I kind of want to see them look good before I lay this many points, even against a team that I think could end up being the worst in the league, even worse than Oakland. You know, the Titans defense gave up more points than any team in the league last year. Jake Locker, I think, kind of stinks, but still, would I be shocked if the Steelers win this game in a huge rout? No, but I really don't want. I'm really not crazy about laying 7. Although I think it's a pretty good pick. I certainly, if you were going to play this game, would recommend laying the 7 and not taking the 7. I would.
Okay.
I couldn't even in good conscience say. You know, I mean, there's no case to be made for Tennessee plus 7. So.
Something tells me we can cut those words you just said there and paste them for what your take is going to be for the next game. I'd be surprised if you didn't say almost the same thing verbatim. Road favorite Ricky, your nickname for me, strikes again.
Oh,
Tampa
no.
Bay is at the Jets. They're weighing 4.5. It was 2.5 to start in this one here. You talk about dumpster fires, the Jets quarterback situation, I guess, a microcosm of what they've got going on overall. Tampa Bay is one of those teams, we talked about it before, there's variance in what they might do this year. They're one of the teams out there, if you're looking at like a 4-game spread and where they might go, how good they might be versus how bad they might be, you couldn't rule them out for making the playoffs. I'd be surprised if they were a disaster, but if they lost a lot of close games and only won 6, would I be shocked? No, I wouldn't, because they won 7 last year. Having said that, I just think they got it all going over the Jets here. I think it's a revenge game for Revis Island. Second of my big three is the Bucs on the road. I think they're really going to lay it to the Jets.
You're going to be shocked at this. But before it all started going terribly wrong for the Jets a couple weeks ago, and granted, no one thought this was going to be a particularly strong season for them anyway, but that preseason game against the Giants where Sanchez got hurt. By the way, shame on the media. Many of the same people who had been ripping Mark Sanchez and all of a sudden acted, you know, like the sky was falling when he got injured. I don't understand that sort of coverage of a team. But I was actually entertaining the notion of taking the Jets and the number at home, believe it or not, before that happened.
Wow.
When I first started looking at the week one lines, just because I wasn't sure about the idea of Tampa Bay, who I completely agree with you, is the team that I probably have the least good feel on this year. They could win anywhere from 6 to 11 games. I really think that. I mean, there are some people who really like this team, and then there's, you know, people like me who think they'll be okay. I think they'll be 8-8. But, you know, because of what's happened in the last couple of weeks, Rex Ryan is such a lame duck. Geno, I am not sold on Geno Smith being the future of this franchise. I can tell you, Mark Sanchez is the past, but, Geno Smith looked pretty bad in the preseason. And as a result, I'm staying away from this game, especially with the number being bet up over the key number of 3. I don't want to lay more than a field goal of Tampa Bay on the road. There's very few teams I would ever want to do that with, and Tampa Bay is not one of them, and that's even considering how bad the Jets are. And again, the Jets, you know, all the really bad teams in the AFC, and the Jets are certainly going to be one that's in contention for that number one overall draft pick next April. But I can't in good conscience lay this number with Tampa Bay. I can't. But this is a total stay away for me.
Okay, last one here in about 3 minutes to get to it. My 1,000-star gold plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 1. Furman and Dilfer on the call in the second half of the Monday night doubleheader. It's Houston at San Diego. Houston laying 5 up from 3.5. Again, your jibes about road favorite rookie striking again here. I just think Houston's going to blow them off the field. I think it's a statement game. This is a team that has a lot to prove this year. They're my pick to come out of the AFC, and it all starts here. I love Houston on Monday night. I think they're going to roll it up on a San Diego team in transition.
A couple things. Number one, I knew this would be one of your 3 picks when I looked at the line. Before you even emailed me, I was like, you know who loves Houston this week? It's going to be Ricky. Now, that being said, you certainly are not without justification. San Diego is a team, again, that I think I'm just down more on than everyone else. I think this team is really bad. And to be honest with you, I mean, you know me, I don't like road favorites, but if there's one I would take a serious look at, it is this one here, Houston. I just really can't make any kind of case for San Diego. They appear to be a very bad team. Again, I think that you can make a case that the 6 or 7 worst teams in football are all in the AFC, and, you know, San Diego's in that group. They may be at the top of that group, but they're in that group nonetheless. And, by the way, I think, here's one that I've been meaning to ask you. Berman and Dilfer on the call. How upset is Chris Berman at his own company now that they have ruined his Matt Stump the Schaub joke for 3 hours? now that the 86, your boy, the Schwab there. So instead now we're stuck with 3 hours of bad Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions going, go Chargers, go. So.
Yeah. So he'll be breaking out back by halftime.
Oh boy. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I might be asleep by halftime. It's always the Chargers or the Raiders that seem to play this, second Monday night game. And it's always just a bad game. You talk about
purely because of the time zone. Yeah.
I mean, you're not gonna start a game in Philadelphia at 10:20 p.m. on a Monday. I mean, if you do.
Oh my God! Can you imagine how drunk and rowdy everyone would be?
Yeah. Oh. Or Cleveland, or anywhere really east of Mississippi. But no, I understand logistically. I understand why that's the case. I just think that. You know, I don't know. To be honest with you, do you want to boil down to for me, and this is the first sign I'm getting old, I think, why I don't want to play this game. I just don't want to stay up. You know, maybe just take Houston in the first half and hope they, you know, get it and don't get backdoored somehow by a late touchdown. So, yeah, you know, I can't disagree with Houston in that game, but
play it that way, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Almost all the sand has leaked out of the hourglass here, so this is our week one broadcast for you. And again, Kyle, a pleasure. Thank you so much, my man. Looking forward to breaking it down with you in the 13 season.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.